together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, a number of the shows recently have been all about surrender, death to self, pruning, whacking. And we kept talking about, but oh, there's going to be growth, there's going to be fruit, there's going to be things that were not possible apart from this. But we don't want to leave you guessing. We're going to talk some more about what kind of growth have we seen. Vicky and I both are on the other side of a willingness to surrender. And it was frightening to both of us. It was not easy. But oh, what we've experienced. And so I just feel like in the last show, she was supposed to talk about how I've changed and talk about the difference she's seen. And I feel like it kind of got cut short. Could we just do, you know, a little more robust version of that?
Yes, like, let's do it.
How have you seen me grow and change from, I don't even feel like I can approach him. There's
and
never
walking
a
on
good
eggshells,
time. I'm
right.
Walking on eggshells. What have you seen God do?
Well, I think once we were taught the biblical priorities of, you know, Jesus, spouse, you know, children, et cetera, like we talked about last show, that really helped put things in place. And I think once I saw you making sacrifices, like I think, you know, like he was in seminary.
Yeah. I literally.
Well, our counselor said, and I just remember sitting there thinking, he's never going to do that. Our counselor said, Brad, your biblical priority is Jesus and then Vicky next. And you've made school second, seminary. So
well, I had school ahead of you,
yeah.
Probably.
That's what I'm saying. You'd make that number two. And he just said, you're going to need to be willing to get worse grades because, of course, he's making straight A's. And maybe we've mentioned this before, but it was just this spoke volumes to me because I just remember sitting there thinking, he's never going to do that.
Because the two biggest areas I remember intentionally adjusting and, oh, it was painful, was school. Brad Digney had always made straight A's.
Mm-hmm.
And I intentionally went and I just looked at the classes. I'm taking extra classes to get out a year early because we don't have money. We're living in a trailer. It's hard. So I got a huge load and I just looked at all the courses and thought, all right, I'm going to have to go to each professor and say, hey, and it was just a new thought to me. I've made my marriage a priority. We've got struggles. Mm-hmm. I'm working on my marriage. What do I need to do to pass?
We don't just have struggles. We have disaster.
Yeah, well. And I remember with Dr. Igu Hodges, isn't that a fun name? I just said, Dr. Hodges, like, wow, that class had 15 books we were supposed to read. And it was like, I don't know, 4 papers to write, 3, you know, presentations, verbal. He's like, all right, you're going to need to crush it on the verbal presentations. Just read these 5 books instead of the 15. And I got a C in Neo-Orthodoxy with Dr. Igu Hodges. But the other thing that was huge is I had work in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where it gets dicey. Because it was church, I justified it. Well, it was the church and it's the kingdom business. And it's, but I would say yes to anybody in the church while I said no to Vicky, no to Vicky, no to Vicky. And I started saying no to people and no to ministry things.
And he was still a hard worker.
Oh,
don't hear we're not
worker.
Saying. But he didn't say yes to all
we
of
did
it.
Not
we had
get,
to make decisions.
We did not get to a new place without some significant, painful decisions being made that felt, I want you to hear this, it felt awkward at first.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, well, that's just going to feel weird. Yeah, it did feel weird at first. Just keep doing it till it doesn't.
Right.
And so I had to choose to believe God. I think he has convinced me of this, that I've got a wrong priority. And for my marriage to thrive, it's not just grab a bouquet of flowers and hand them to her on her anniversary. And it's not, I'm going to have to make some significant life changes regarding priorities and what I'm focused on. My focus had to change. Mm-hmm. Our marriage had almost zero focus for me.
Right.
It was, I would put it to you this way. It was an afterthought.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm married. But I didn't wake up the way I did about my job and about ministry and about other things.
Mm-hmm.
That was That was a huge shift.
Yeah, something.
And you saw it?
Oh, I saw that. So when I saw you trying to make changes to the best of your ability, and which wasn't necessarily lauded by your church, our church. I mean,
yeah.
But when I saw that, that gave me hope and encouragement that you were at least trying. And I think now the difference is I just know I can come to you. You're never going to turn me away. Mm. You know, I can call you. I can say, hey, and you know, I can call you at work. I can call you whenever, or even just say, I need your help on something.
And when she does, you know what she gets? When I answer, I'm like, hey, little Shetland.
Mm-hmm. He calls me little Shetland.
That's my pet name for her. We saw this picture in Cracker Barrel in the gift shop area of this gorgeous Shetland pony.
Little kind of cute Shetland pony.
Its mane was just silky blonde, just tossed in the wind. And it's just
we wish we would have bought the book.
I know, it's so
it,
funny. We talk now,
it's like,
oh, I wish we'd bought
that. If you see it in Cracker Barrel, buy it for us.
Yeah, if you see that, please get it and send it to us.
It was the cutest little pony.
And so I've just stuck with that as a pet name.
Mm-hmm.
But now I say that, and I hope you know, it is funny, but at the same time, what I want you to hear is when she approaches me, whether it's in person or by phone, I want her to sense, wow, he is so pleased that it's me.
Mm-hmm.
He's so glad that I'm making contact with him. I want her to sense that, come to me.
Right.
Come to me.
And I like it because, you know, even if I may say, hey, I need something, I want to run by you, even if it's not right then, I know, okay, by that night or the next day, we'll get to it. And so I think that gives me great encouragement.
Because, you know, if you just answer the phone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That conveys something.
I mean, that tone and that response conveys right. something already. She's not likely to really tell me what maybe right. she wanted to tell me.
And then also when I say, hey, can I talk to you about something? I'm also quick to add, it's not about you.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, no, what have I done?
I just relax a little more.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, I just want your input on
I don't care
a decision
what
about church I'm trying
not
to make.
About me.
Right. Ooh. So I really appreciate, like, he values my opinion now, and I value his. And I think, you know, it's kind of beautiful because it's like the two of us together, our personalities, our wisdom, et cetera, we can come to a better decision on things. But I think I just feel very seen, heard, unconditionally loved, which I'm going to go back to, intimately known. And I think I've really blossomed as your wife. And I feel that I can be the person that God's made me, the version of me. And that's just, wow, that's very freeing.
But here's a word I want to throw out there, especially for guys to hear, because I got it in my head and I keep it there, and it's what I actually shoot for. It's the word safe.
Mm.
And as I do any little workshops with guys, I bring this. I'm like, guys,
that's
your goal,
so good.
Your goal is to do whatever is necessary for your wife to conclude
mm-hmm.
he's the safest person.
Right.
I could come to. He's for me, not
yes.
against me. And please know, I'm bringing you this because I had not created that thought.
No.
She did not think I was safe. And again, abuse was not at play.
Never.
I never hit her.
He didn't yell.
I did not verbally abuse her.
But he was curt.
So there is abuse and there is neglect and there is a sense of projecting kind of like a wall
mm-hmm.
that I don't have time for you and I do not.
It you was more annoy like me.
I treated her like an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And so she did
not
feel.
And I sensed that.
She did not feel safe.
Right.
And so now what I've been shooting for a couple of decades now is I want her to think it's safe to go to him.
Yeah.
He's safe. He's for me. He's for me.
In fact, not only is he for me, he's for me like no one else in this world is for me.
And if you've got a fearful thought here, so often some of the best things we could do, Satan lies and says, oh, but if you did that, she.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to hear. This doesn't mean she comes to me endlessly. She calls me eight
times a day.
I'm not a
needy person. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's just caused our relationship to thrive.
But we really do benefit when we get each other's opinions on different things we have to do. Once again, not everything, like you said, but I think that's important.
Because he meant for us to be a team.
Right.
And you touched on it a little earlier in this show. It's like you said, I feel like we work together now.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Yeah.
The other thing that was so different is it just felt like two separate entities existed under the same roof.
Right.
And like planets that occasionally orbited near each other or bumped into each other.
Right.
That's what happened. But it wasn't like, wow, we function as a team.
Mm-hmm. And I really do like that word team. And I think we might have mentioned it before, but I just think we really can't say it enough. We each have our different areas. We go hard after those areas, but we each have different roles. And we kind of know what those are. It's not always, you know, once again, it's not what the people next door to us do, how they do their roles, but what have we worked out? And we are a team. We work together to make our home run, to help our family run, to help, you know, be in ministry at this church we're at. So I just think I love the whole, the team effort versus just, I do my own thing, yeah. You do your own thing, or we're two separate entities. And I really agree. That's kind of what we were.
It's more of a mindset now and a focus of what does it take to do life?
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure, I'm way more aware of what's going on in the weeds and the details of the ministry of the church that I'm called to serve.
Right.
But I have an awareness of our home, what it takes to manage our home and what is going on and our kids and our grand versus, well, that's your realm. And she has much more an awareness of ministry and what is going on. And I draw, but see, I have to intentionally draw her in. And you may have a job, if you're a guy listening, that, well, I can't think of any occasion to draw her in. But I've chosen to invite her into my world. And I know it means a lot to her when I call and say, hey, I just wanted to get your opinion on something.
Oh, I love that.
Wanted to run something.
Because I have an opinion about everything.
Wanted to run something by you.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about a new focus, like looking for something different and having a perspective that's different in marriage than isolation and just me and my own thoughts. Self. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Vicki what you might be thinking, but what do you do when this guy still falls short? Does he ever still blow it? Or do you ever still see some of the things that were the way it used to be? What then?
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. But that whole story about the Shetland pony, yeah, it was funny, but it's also the kind of detail that you only remember when something really changes. You know what I mean? Like, you don't hang on to things like that unless there's been some healing. That's the thing. This show's called Thrive, right? But most of us don't start by thriving. I don't know anyone who woke up in year 5 of their marriage or 10 or 15 and said, yeah, you know what? I think we're thriving. No, it's usually like, I think we're just surviving, but barely. So when you hear Brad say, I have to tell my professor, look, I want to pass, but my marriage comes first. That's the stuff that rewires marriages, and that's what we're chasing here. Not perfection, but two people learning how to surrender. That's why Thrive exists. That's why Fortis Institute exists. And if you're in a time in your life where you're trying to get there, trying to figure out what getting there looks like, check out Fortis Plus. It is our app. It's absolutely free of charge. Nothing weird about it. No gimmicks. Just tons of audio and video content. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content available to you right now. Absolutely free of charge. And we're adding to it every single day. It's built for people who are trying to take the next step in their lives. Brad is there with all of our other fellows as well. Just search for Fortis Plus in your app store or go to fortisplus.org. And listen, if this podcast has helped you, if it's giving you a new lens on what's possible in your marriage, I'm going to ask you if you would consider something. Would you consider standing with us? We don't sell ads around here, if you haven't noticed. We're listener supported. People just like you who believe in gospel-centered resources for families. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, but only if you're already giving to your local church. That's the thing that we want you to understand. We're not going to be one of those ministries that tell you to give to us. We want you to partner with us, but only if you're giving to your local church first, because that is your number one priority. If you're not in a time in your life where you're giving to your local church, get that cleaned up and get that taken care of. Don't give to us, give to your local church. That's your family. But if you do have that area of your life looking okay and you're giving to your local church and you can stand with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored if you would consider joining us. Again, FortisInstitute.org is where you go to find out all of the details. All right, let's get back to Brad and Vicki now. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about what it would look like to get way beyond just let's survive, and certainly let's get unstuck. Let's get unstuck. What would get us moving forward? Well, a new focus, a different perspective, waking up looking for something different. But God will grow you. He's grown us, but it's never going to be perfect. There's still going to be setbacks. There's still going to be things you step in together. So I'm pleased that we could talk in the first half of the show about growth. Mm-hmm. You know, what's different? What am I doing different? We could take some time to talk about what you're doing different. I don't want the listeners to think, oh, Brad changed right. and that made a better marriage. No, true. Vicky did too. But we've talked about some of what is Brad doing differently that makes Vicky feel safe and makes it seem like he's approachable. Mm-hmm. We're doing life together. But here's a really important question. Vicky, what do you do when I still fall short? I'm still a sinner. Some of that hardwiring's still there. And when it shows up in real time,
right.
what's that look like and what do you do now?
Well, I think that's just typical of any relationship. We're never going to get to the zone where there's just nothing we have to deal with. So I think that's unrealistic. We've mentioned this before. I think most things, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And often these aren't even sins that get me in trouble. It's just my preferences. Like, I wish he wouldn't do it that way, or I wish he would park where I want him to park. So a lot of it is just, you've got to let it go. L-I-G, let it go.
So earlier in our marriage, maybe you weren't letting things go.
I didn't let anything go. So that's one way, you know, we say you haven't been on the only one that has changed. I've tried to change, you know, let things go. Don't just drag things into the ground. Don't point out their faults in front of others at small group or whatever it is. So I think that's important that we have to just let a lot of things go.
So put it to you this way. There's places to grow and there's things to let go.
A lot of things to let go.
Yeah, I like
that's
it.
Good. Write that in the book.
Because it's true. When I think about where we are in our marriage now, it's not just, I leaned into what the Bible says about a husband, what it says about biblical priorities, what it says about gratitude. Yes. And Vicky leaned into growing in areas of what God says. We have both also formed a habit of just let some things go.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go.
Let a lot of things go.
Yeah.
I think the better your relationship is and you're loving each other more and you are being more of a team, I think you find that easier to do, but you still have to do that. You know, it doesn't just come naturally. So I'm thinking of some lady came to visit our church. She's an, I don't even know if I'm saying the word right, esthetician, or somehow she does something with your face. Like she shaves your little peach fuzz off. Like I never even knew there was such a thing, but she's like, hey, come to my house. I'll give you a free facial, blah, blah, blah. Went to her house, got my free facial.
Well, be encouraged. I've never noticed fuzz that needs to be shaved off. I hope that encourages you.
Thank you. That does encourage me.
And I live with you at close range.
Yes, you do. So I just remember she was telling me, here's this foundation. It's all natural, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm like, okay, of course, you know, you want to have a good foundation. It's very important in the life of a woman. So I paid. I got it. It came. And so I was already having a rough day. My allergies were bothering me. A child had just told me they had something to do the next day at school to dress up as Betsy Ross. I'm like, why am I just hearing about this? But anyway, I'm in the bathroom, our little tiny bathroom, trying to put my makeup on.
The master bathroom that has one sink.
Yeah. They could sit on the toilet and shut the door.
Yes.
Yeah. So
there you go. That was the master bath.
And so Brad came around the corner and I'm putting my foundation on, you know, getting ready to start my day. And he's like, oh, I'm like, what? He's like,
I still remember this, you guys.
Yeah,
it was
so do I.
Shocking.
Oof. Trying not to. He's like, you look like an Oompa Loompa. And I'm just like, okay. And I just keep putting my
foundation. It's because her face had this orange.
And to his credit, I noticed, okay, I just paid $24 for this and I don't even like it. Like, I don't think this was a good choice. And it smelled like rose, which I'm sorry. I love
a shiny, greasy look, and it was orange.
I love rose bushes. I do not like the smell of fake
and
rose.
Trust me, I think Oompa Loompas are just so cute.
Yeah, they are.
But I preferred my wife to not
the first
have
Willy Wonka episode. If you haven't seen it, please watch
facial
it.
Facial tone of Oompa Loompa.
So I thought, okay, please go away. And so I just kept putting it on because, I mean, it's $24. I want to try to make this work. And so then he comes back in and sticks his face around and says, it just looks like you have cancer or something. I mean, are you going to wear that? And I just wanted to smack him in the face and say, shut up and get out of here. So, you know.
But part of it is, think about it. I just didn't hear her say, because she didn't say, you're right. This is hideous.
So
I was frightened. I thought, am I going to be on a date with her? Is she going public with this?
Get over it. Let it go. Like so anyway, he's just trying to help me. Yes. So some of you that have that spouses that don't speak,
super
I mean,
helpful.
This is where that would be good. No, I have a spouse that speaks. He speaks about everything.
Speak.
Yeah. So, and then he thinks if you don't quickly acknowledge, then he just thinks I need to come at it from a different angle and convince her of this. Later by that night, I just thought that just bothers me. And so if it's something I feel like I can't get over then, and it's really bothering me that I feel like I can't L-I-G, let it go, and it's still bothering me, So I just went to him and said,
emotionally and mentally.
Yes, yes.
Can't get past it.
And I mean, that's a small thing, but you can get your wires crossed about things like that. I just said, hey, I'm sure, and I try to go assuming the best. I'm sure you didn't mean anything by that. Because I really, in all honesty, believe that. I think he's thinking, I don't want her to go out and look like an Oompa Loompa in public.
Yeah.
He's trying to help me. I'm sure he didn't mean anything by that. But from now on, if you see something, just know I'm already probably thinking that. But if you really feel like the need to say something, just say something once. Don't keep coming back in and popping your head in and giving me more details, because that was hurtful to me to say I look like an Oompa Loompa and you think I have cancer. So,
I think you said,
yeah,
that really hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And
now it's kind of funny. I mean, really, it was bad. And just so you know, I ended up throwing the rose.
Oh yes,
foundation
the
away.
The good news is I've never woken up with Oompa Loompa again.
But you know, it just seems so tragic. That's $24 of my play money that now it's down the tubes. That you know.
Yeah,
but it was worth it. So I think that's helpful for us just to know. You know, if it's something I can't emotionally and mentally get past, then to talk it through.
And
he was receptive.
Story. The only reason this ends well is I didn't in that moment then just say it again. But you look like an Oompa Loompa.
No, And I said you responded
I
well.
I then said, oh, okay, yes. And we try to practice using the word forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please forgive me? I certainly did not mean to just drive it into the ground and make you feel bad. I was just so frightened that you were actually going to keep using this.
Right. So his point got across.
Yeah. So there's still times I can't remember because I teach places in other cities and use illustrations. I don't remember if we've on the show talked about, but probably a pretty recent one was a clump of eucalyptus that was showed up in our shower.
The dreaded eucalyptus story.
Oh my goodness. I get in the shower one day and there's just.
We're really going to go there.
I mean a clump. Don't think sprig.
Uh-huh.
This was a clump. It was like a round clump.
I want to tell my Sparta story first.
It had a little brown ribbon. No rope. A little brown rope.
It was pretty.
Tied it to the shower
spigot
decorative. Head. And there it is. And wow. It's sticking out all around the shower head.
Okay, let me give my part of the story first.
Oh.
Okay, so my daughter-in-law is a florist and she does like beautiful work. And so I bought this from her and it was like, because Brad has all these allergies, we can't have candles, blah, blah, blah. They make him sneeze. And so I bought this eucalyptus to hang in our shower. It's supposed to be very like, you know, refreshing.
Yeah.
And I agree, I didn't really smell that much. So I just came in one day and it's like, crunched, not
well. Let's
placed,
not act like it was
crunched.
2 days later.
3 weeks later, two.
3 weeks
two,
later,
three.
I got in and thought. Mm-hmm. Not only have I never smelled eucalyptus, and I take hot showers, it now smells like dying vegetation. I think we could be done with this. So I just snapped the little rope, took that big clump. But when I walked into the kitchen, we got one of those kitchen, pull out
new and
garbage
improved.
Cans. When we paid to have the kitchen redone, now we got that thing. It's really a drawer. So that's not a big garbage can. It was so big, I could not get it in that garbage can that's a drawer. So I had to snap it in three pieces.
He did
and I kid
snap
you not,
it. He ruined
I'm not
it.
Thinking that I'm doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking that tragedy is looming ahead.
Right.
And I just jam it down in there and drive off to work.
Yeah.
And I called her that morning like I usually do, kind of touch base, like, mm-hmm. hey, little Shetty.
Not interested.
And she seemed off. I was like, ooh, something's off. But I thought, all right, I don't know.
It wasn't a good time to talk about it. He's
and
at work.
I worked that day. I think I had counseling that night. I come home late. She's already eaten supper. She has me supper ready. And I still sense off. So my way of always asking it now is, are we okay? And like she said earlier in an earlier show, I love it when it's like, oh, yeah, it's not you. And she said, no, we're not. And then I kid you not, she grabbed a little spiral notebook where she had a bunch of stuff written on a piece of paper.
I had to think my thoughts through.
I was like, oh, my goodness. And we began to go round and round and round and round about the eucalyptus.
Because it bothered me because I'd spent my play money on the eucalyptus and he just crushed it without asking me.
Yeah. But hear this now. Be encouraged. You know, we had been married 30-something years. It still took us about an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
But it was worth it. We don't want things to stay unresolved.
Right.
We just kept talking. I kept asking questions to try to understand why that was so hurtful to her. And it ended with me getting it.
Yeah.
It had to do with play money. It had to do with our daughter-in-law.
This is my eucalyptus.
There was just components of that.
Please just ask me before you crush it in the trash can.
There was just components of that that I didn't realize. And so what we're trying to do now is not live with unresolved stuff that we drag into the next. But be encouraged. We don't have a marriage that thrives, that never needs to hit pause and say, whew, let's work through this.
And we do. And that's been a huge help.
That's the difference. But you can't do that if neither feels safe or approachable. So now we have a context where we're like, let's make this right.
Right.
We're talking about how your marriage might begin to thrive. And it starts with surrender, and it starts with a new focus. Oh, we want for you, and we believe God could do for you what He's done for us and is still doing for us.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.